This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
And we're back on our weekly, moved up to Tuesday this week, usually Wednesday, 9 a.m., RedRecover.com inside the paint show. I'm Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. In 18 degrees Cleveland, Ohio, he's Kurt Heelan in the L.A. area, much warmer. For Pro Basketball Talk at NBCSports.com. In our first segment, if you missed it, you can catch it on all the Big O Show podcast outlets. We talked about the Heat trade options, what they might or might not do. Want to spin it a little different direction to go around the league a little bit right now. Kurt, you mentioned this in our first segment, and usually I play this game every year. I try to figure if the Heat are going to make the playoffs in the old days, what seven teams weren't. In the new days, what five teams won't, so at least you get the play-in. So in the East, we know that Charlotte and Detroit, even with the Heat losing to Charlotte on Sunday, are pretty much tanking it out of it. I would think Orlando with their young core is out of it. So I was trying to come to the other two teams who I figure just aren't going anywhere this season. And one of them sort of surprises me, and we spoke about it with Fred VanVleet in the first segment here, the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Are they toast for the season? Are they just getting ready to move to their next iteration?
I think so. I'm with you, by the way. I had them in the top six, frankly. I thought the Heat would be better, but I thought that this Raptor team was tough to play against. They're long, athletic, and switchable, and maybe it's not a great playoff system, but it's going to win you a lot of regular season games. Just hasn't been that way. And now there's buzz about, like Chris Haynes was talking about players being unhappy there, and the playing time minutes are funky, and Nick Nurse is in trouble. That's got all the recipe of things that there isn't some magic bullet trade that fixes it, right? Even if you want to start to shift your roster towards something more traditional, when bring in a Jakob Poeltl at center and start shifting things around, how much are you going to win this year? Like, I don't think they're much of a threat this season. I mean, maybe they're certainly going to hang around for one of those play-in spots, but I'm with you. I'm not intimidated by them.
So OG Anunoby has been the name, I think, that's been viewed as the most gettable from Toronto, the most reasonable, and the most helpful. And again, I think he's a player, if you put him at the four for the Heat, they are markedly and demonstrably better.
Yes.
But my question to you is this, because I want to give Heat Nation sort of a sense on this. It's a good name. I would embrace him, except for one thing on the Heat end. And we spoke about this with D'Angelo Russell in our first segment also. It seems like some of the discontent from OG is that he wants to be more of a prime factor. That's a team that plays through Pascal Siakam. That's a team that plays through Fred VanVleet. That's a team that wants to, going forward, play through Scottie Barnes. Fourth option. I'm not sure that changes that much with the Heat. The Heat would love to have OG Anunoby come in here and say, I'd love to be your fourth option. Then I think it works on so many levels. Switchability, being able to defend the four, hit threes, not at a great rate, but something that he can work on, feature him a little bit more. So I get all of that. But if you're Toronto, so again, I'm having you be Masai Ujiri again for the second time in our show, if you didn't catch the first segment. When you look at the Miami Heat, honestly, Kurt Heelan, and you say, OG, you've been an OG for us. We're going to take care of you. We're going to get you. If you want to go to Miami, that's fine. Do the Heat have, honestly, in the view of Toronto management, enough, considering what Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk has heard about other teams offering Toronto?
Yeah, there's a lot of teams lining up, and it's going to take a couple of really good firsts, or maybe a third one if the Knicks really – I mean, the Knicks have a ton of firsts. Some of them are kind of heavily protected, so they're not thrilling, but – you can balance the salaries out again. I think they'd probably take Duncan. That might be a team that takes Duncan Robinson back and says, hey, we can use him as a shooter and find a spot for him and use that in somebody else, minimum player, whatever it takes. Maybe Jovic to balance out the salaries, but you're going to have to throw in some firsts enough firsts to entice them beyond the teams that are lining up to throw firsts at them for. When you talk about him being a fourth offensive option, what he really brings is he is one of the best on-ball defenders in the league, point of attack defenders in the league right now. He is switchable and long and a guy who's going to be first-team all-defense this year. And you put that on the perimeter with Bam, and suddenly that end of the floor looks a whole lot better.
Well, but I want to ask you that also, because we always talk about the big trade, about Pat Riley and Wales and harpooning and going big.
Yeah.
The Heat basically have their first-round pick this year they can trade, and then you get into the 26, 27, 28 realm, and a couple out there you can move can't be consecutive years. If you're the Heat and you even throw in one first-round pick to an OG Anunoby deal or whatever deal we're talking about here today, Fred VanVleet, something else, you then lose your ability to package going forward. You don't have a package.
Yeah.
Sort of like the Lakers' concern, you know, with their first-round picks and what they might or might not do or would have done if they held, you know, kept all their picks together. So my question here being, should the Miami Heat say, we're not going to do a pick package going forward? We're not going to do the Durant game again next summer? Because I think once you give up even one pick in a trade now, say even your 23 pick, you're sort of out of the pool play, I like to call it, for draft choices. Is OG Anunoby a good enough name to take yourself out of whale hunting down the road?
I don't think he's ultimately I think he is a third best player and the defensive stopper on a really great team. If your goal is to go get another, you know, top 20 NBA player, whatever, wherever 25, whatever, wherever you want to draw that line, then no, you're going to need those draft picks, because that's kind of the cachet these days to go get those kind of players. So it's an issue. I guess the question, and I'll ask you, because this is something you're close to. I mean, this is always a team that's in it for now, in it to win it this year, in it to do it. And Anunoby makes you better now, but where does that leave you? Are you willing to do that, to sacrifice the ability this summer or two summers from now to go after, you know, player X who becomes available?
And again, and I always look at deals this way, is where does it put you down the road for championship contention? So I'll ask you this, knowing what we know about the Celtics, knowing what we know about the Nets, knowing what we know about the Bucks, knowing what we know about the 76ers, is a core of Bam Adebayo, OG Anunoby, Jimmy Butler, and Tyler Hero a championship constantly contending team, or is it just a good team?
Well, that's a good question. My gut instinct, and just because Butler kind of plays inconsistently, is that it's on the I'll put it this way. I put him on the second tier of contenders. On the, if things really kind of go our way, we can do this, but we don't have a lot of margin for error in the playoffs, where I think Boston and frankly Philadelphia might be the best of the group the last few weeks.
Right,
those kind of teams have more room, margin for error. More things can actually go wrong, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting. I want to get to another name, because we hear the Clippers are active. I mean, the one thing we know is Bob will spend. He couldn't give a rat's butt about the tax going forward. Yeah. He has his new arena coming in Inglewood. He has his TV deal, his network. He's just, you know, he's thinking big picture beyond tax. There's a player there that I think is the swing player in trades. And I'm just curious, I want to get Norman Powell thoughts from you as to who he is and what he is. And that if there were to be a Kyle Lowry trade, and if a Norman Powell was to be available, what is Norman Powell? Who is Norman Powell? And how does Norman Powell help or maybe just used to be someone?
You were talking earlier about the need for Miami to have a glue guy, sixth man, who comes in off the bench and can get you buckets or stabilize things. That's Norman Powell. It's a down year for sixth man of the year, frankly. There is no Tyler Hero running away with it this year. That said, he's in the mix because of what he brings off the bench. He is such a Swiss Army knife of a player who can do a little bit of everything. He defends pretty well, but he's also, hey, I can create off the dribble. I can catch and shoot threes, whatever role is needed that night. And that kind of versatility is just so hard to come by. Like, I think he would be, and by the way, a very Miami Heat style player and a cerebral high IQ kind of player. Like, he'd be a great fit.
Do you think the Clippers would be willing to part with him in, say, a Kyle Lowry deal?
You're going to have... That's a good question. They are so desperate for a point guard that maybe I think they realize Norman Powell is their best trade ship in a lot of ways. There's just a lot of interest in him around the league, just because of his versatility. But I don't know if they do it again. You might have to throw in a little, Jovic. You're going to have to give them something maybe in addition. And it'd be interesting to see it because Norman Powell doesn't work out financially. You're going to – the Clippers are loaded with those – they built that roster well in terms of, like, they've got a bunch of guys between 19 and 12 million that they can shuffle in and out of a deal to make it work. But I think it'd be an interesting trade package, but if you could find a way to get Norman Powell in a Kyle Lowry deal, that would be a huge get.
Yeah, that's something that intrigues me. I want to also get to one of Pat Riley's really good friends in the NBA and a team that I thought would have done a lot more to this point but hasn't, and that's Danny Ainge, being facetious there, and the Utah Jazz. Kurt, when the season started, it was almost a poo-poo platter or a dim sum tray of pick whatever you want, take what you want, we just want draft choices. And there were so many names down the line there, from Jared Vanderbilt linked to the Heat to Mike Conley being linked, actually another very good name for the Clippers there, Kelly Olynyk being there, just all these veteran types who didn't fit the rebuild. I think Larry Markkanen is sort of settled in there as a piece of the future. Walker Kessler is settled in there as maybe just as good as Rudy Gobert after all. So they're starting to get things lined up there. Does it surprise you as this late date, 9 days from the NBA trading deadline, that Danny Ainge hasn't cashed in his chips? And the other part of that is, doesn't he have to? Isn't this what this was all about in the first place? From moving Donovan Mitchell for 3 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps to the Cleveland Cavaliers getting the youthful potential of a Colin Sexton, making the deal with Timberwolves and getting their picks. Wasn't there always a part 3 and then taking all the veterans brought in and moving them out?
Yeah.
What's going on in Utah? Why have there been crickets so far from Danny Ainge and the Jazz? And if you don't mind, take us through some of the chips that Utah has and maybe what you think might be a fit for the Miami Heat.
It's interesting. I think the winning threw them off. I don't think they expected to come out with a 10-3 to start the season, something like that.
One of those teams right in the 3-12 mix in the West that they can have home court in the first round of the playoffs. They can get the number one draft choice. They are everywhere in that mix.
They've come back to earth since that hot start, but yes, they are good enough, and Lowry, you're right, Markkanen has settled in, and ownership there loves Jordan Clarkson, who was one of those guys we thought would be on the move, and it may not now. Just like they may just live with it and try to win some. If they make the postseason, they'll be ecstatic as fans and as ownership. But I'm with you. It kind of, and where are you going with a team led by Lowry Markkanen? You're okay. You're fine. You're in the middle of the pack.
I'm going to interrupt you here for a second because that's another name. A Jordan Clarkson would help the Heat with his offense also, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Jordan Clarkson's a former Sixth Man of the Year who's just a microwave off the bench.
Who could literally fill the Tyler Hero role that they've been looking to fill all season. Again, the Heat could offer a first-round pick. They could offer Nikola Jovic. They could offer matching salaries there also and get something done. It's almost like Danny Ainge could solve the Heat's problems, which is never something you would have thought you would hear with the words Danny Ainge and Pat Riley together.
Yeah.
But they've got to move. Let me put it to you this way, because we're up against another break in a couple of minutes here, is this. The Utah Jazz will do something, right, Kurt Helin?
Yes. I there's a lot, starting with the aforementioned Clippers and their point guard issues. Mike Conley is at the top of their list as the guy they want to bring in. The other guy getting a lot of buzz out of there is Malik Beasley, who's another one of those can do a little bit of everything, shoot the three wings. So one or both of them will be on the move, but you're right. It's been a really quiet maybe that's just because Danny Ainge is good at this and Utah's never been a leaky organization, frankly. Much leakier now, frankly, than it was. The previous organization was just crickets.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they've got something coming, but Danny Ainge can't have built this team to be stuck in the middle, right? Like
and just the fact that
I don't get it.
They move Mitchell, they move Gobert, they move Bogdanovich, they've moved to the future, and yet they have these guys that I don't think are future pieces. I mean, especially a guy like a Mike Conley Jr., who you're right. I think if Mike Conley Jr. goes to the Clippers, he might be contending for a championship this season. It might be the ultimate carrot to throw a player. I think he has more in his tank. Real quick, and I know you hate when I do this. More in his tank right now to help a team. Kurt, you've just been named general manager of the Clippers. We've moved Lawrence Frank out. If you had a choice between Kyle Lowry or Mike Conley Jr., which direction are you going?
Conley. Yeah. Conley's just a better player right now.
And I would think so also. So I've tried to set up sort of some of the Heat possibilities there for the trade deadline. We will have one more show next Wednesday, a day before the trade deadline. I think we'll probably have some deals or at least strongly rumored about to happen next week. So we'll get back to that. But after this break on redrecover.com Inside the Paint, I want to get into a couple of things. So, Kurt, I'll give you about 90 seconds to prepare your notes. All-star reserves named tomorrow. Where did Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo stand? Look at the standings right now. The play in the Heat very tenuous in number six. The loss to Charlotte didn't help either. Where we think the Heat might land, what they have to do so they don't land in that spot. So we'll get to standings. We'll get to All-Stars. We'll get to more of your questions on the chat board after this break on RedRecover.com Inside the Paint.